It's not yours, right? It's not Gazelle, right? Right? It's not yours, right? Right. So we had to get in a whole, across the gamut of different opinions as to what exactly makes the Isser HaNor impossible to be mevatel. But there is really an underlying question that really sets the stage for our sugya. I understand why something which is Eder Shalom or something which is Eder Bishuso, why I can't do Dinim Mamunus Chelo Simon. I understand why I can't be Makdish. I understand why I can't Tana. And I even understand why I can't be Mafkir. Because Hefkir, to a certain extent, is a Dinim Mamunus type of Bechelos as well. But who says that Bittul Chametz falls under that list? Who says that Bittul Chametz is any attempt of any change in Dinim Mamunus? So this is a throwback that months and months, months ago, what is Bittul Chametz? So just to recap very, very quickly, according to one opinion in Rishonim, the Shir ends right now. We go down at the 620. That's the Shir at Tosis. Tosis back in the Avdal Amud Beis, Masechet Pesachim's opinion was that Bittul Chametz is synonymous with Hefker. There is nothing special about Bittul. There's nothing religious about Bittul. There's nothing ritualistic about Bittul. Bittul chametz is part of choshev mishpat. I can mafkir my animal, I can mafkir my car, mafkir my house, I can mafkir my chametz. When you're mafkir your chametz, all you're doing is a simple, straightforward chalos in the imamunus called hefker. How does that solve the world's problems of Pesach? With very, very simple equations, says Tosfos. Once you mafkir it, it's not yours. Once it's not yours, then it's not a violation of by Rabbi Matzik, or shalcha yataroa, tarosh alacherim. I'm allowed to have a non-Jewish chametz in my rishus. I'm allowed to have a hektish chametz in my rishus. And therefore, by extension, I'm allowed to have hefkir chametz in my rishus as well. So according to Shita Tosfos, this Gemara reads like a charm. According to Tosfos, whether you say that a davar asur b'ano is ein b'shelo, or whether you say the ketos, that's an ein b'shuso, or whether you say chametz is different because it's tony and ra'olma, therefore it's ein b'shelo, whatever spin you want to put on chametz, the bottom line is it's that lack of shalom, or that lack of ishuso, that is an impediment performing chalosim of dinim amunus. So yeah, it tells us if bittul is chametz, so just as I can't be mafkir something that's not mine, or ein b'shuso, whatever you think the degree of ein shalom ein b'shuso is, just as you can't be mafkir, you can't be mevatel. But if you remember back from several months ago, it's been a repeating theme throughout the year. According to many, many Rishonim, Bittul is anything but Hefker. Bittul is Xeris HaKosov. Bittul is derived from Tashbisu. Bittul is a special Xeris HaKosov that's learned out from the Parsha of Pesach. It has nothing to do with Chashim Mishpat. It has nothing to do with Hefker. According to many Rishonim, how could Bittul be Hefker? The Gemara says, Bittul belayed, Hefker. L'chara requires Dibur. When you're Mavata, Yechamet, you say, L'chamir, V'chamir, L'levi, Ka'afra, Diara. Nobody says kehefker. We say hefker. That word hefker was put in years later. Nusach ha-goinim, the original text of Bittul probably didn't even have the word hefker in it. So come the Rishonim, come the Ran, the Ramban, all the Gedolim Rishonim beginning of the Masechta, and say, wait a second, Bittul chametz, what does Bittul have to do with hefker? If you remember back, a throwback 3-4 months ago, we said that according to Shittas Rashi, it could be, it would be over by Rabbi Matzer. Hefker. What hefker is all about. So we had serious reservation on the part of Gedolei Rishonim, such as Rashi and Avdalid, the Rambam, Perek Beis of Chometz Matzah, the Ramban and the Chiddush Beginning Pesachim. We had a whole array of Rishonim who did not make that equation of the Balei Tosfos. And the Balei Tosfos were convinced Bittul is Hefker, Hefker is Bittul Hefker, it's all the same thing. So I understand according to Tosfos, if it's Hefker, so you can't be Mafkir what you don't know, you can't be Mafkir with the Eder B'shuso. That I got on the first of my comments. But according to all the other Rishonim, which is there's a lot of Rishonim, Rashi, Ramban, who say that Bittul is not Hefker finished. It's something else. It's Tashbisu. It's Xeris HaKosov. So why can't I do it? Nachas Mani Sura. Why does the Gemara draw that equation? Why does the Gemara say, well, once it's out of your Rishos, either Eder Shalom, Eder B'shuso, then it's too late to do Bittul. Why not? What's wrong with doing Bittul? It's not Dinim Mamunus anyway. Why can't I just get up and say Koch Amira and third day Chol HaMoed? What is stopping from doing it? What's pshat in this Gemara? So we have to take a step back a little bit and almost leave the world of the Mamres for a short time, not too long, but a little bit. And try to identify other kinds of chalosim, perhaps for lack of a better word, other kinds of halachas that are not rooted in Dinei Mamonos and yet cannot be done on something that I don't own. Is there such a precedent in halacha that certain things out of the realm of Dinei Mamonos, in the realm of Yisrael Hefter, in the realm of Orach Chaim and Yerodeya, I can't do most Yisurim, most Tumas, Taurus, things of that nature, but I do the Bailus. I can't create any surim and things that don't. Oh, but if we can identify almost like a theme in other areas of halacha that Bailus plays a role, even though we're not talking the language of Chayshim Mishpat anymore, we're not talking the Imamnis, but Bailus still is important, maybe that could serve as a model for us that Pitul Chametz, you know, it's not the Imamnis oriented, but yet Bailus is still required. So we have a little bit of work to do. Try to find some kind of a precedent, and to be able to, we have to understand the precedent. And once we understand the precedent, then we have to understand whether the precedent is a good precedent for applying to Chametz. We really have a twofold, a challenge in front of us. We have to discover America. We have to first find that case of bailus that somehow sets the tone for something which is not Chayshim Mishpat oriented, and then see once we've identified it, can that serve as an appropriate role model for Bitul Chametz as well. So the first challenge brings us to a Rambam in an area that at first glance has absolutely nothing to do with that topic. Not the first time, not the last time that we find ourselves in an area that's nothing to do with that topic. But don't forget, the Torah says, Yom Tovim, the whole Torah is interlocked and interrelated. And the Torah is, we've said this many times, you have to view the Torah as a picture. So when you look at a picture, you got to look at the whole thing together. You don't just say, oh, well, it's a beautiful corner of the picture. Look at the whole picture. So every once in a while, Divrei Torah or Ani B'mocham Echad V'Shiv B'mocham Acher. So they're, it's hard to find the answer in Pesachim, but if you search around other Masechtas, other areas, very, very different areas of Halacha, you may get some insight. So the Rambam, in the second Ma'amar Kamos, is discussing the intricacies of Halacha related to Hilchos Tumas Oichlim. The Torah tells us about Shashmini that food is subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. So if I have a piece of bread, I have a piece of meat, I have an apple, it comes into contact with something which is Tameh, so the food will be Tameh. Now, there are some potentially very, very serious ramifications of Tumas Ochlin if the food in question is with Abakadosh. If it's Chulin, it's just a regular apple, a regular piece of meat. For the very, very religious people who eat the Chulin Matara, so it's going to make a difference. For the average person, like for us today, it's not going to make much of a difference whether my apple is Tumas or not. But if the apple is Truma, it's going to make a big difference because Truma cannot be eaten in the state of Tumas. If the apple is Maisa Sheni, it's going to make a big difference. Maisa Sheni cannot be eaten when it's Tameh. If it's a piece of meat and happens to be a meat of a korban, it's going to make a huge difference because to eat a piece of meat of a korban that Tameh is alive in the Torah, it's Chai Malchus for that. So there are certain areas of halacha from Kedoshim when it's very, very important for us to know what food is Tameh, what food is not Tameh. So in Parashat Shemini, when the Torah speaks about Tumas Ochlim, there's one very, very important prerequisite before we can declare that food is tummy. Just because food was touched by a dead mouse does not make it tummy. What first it requires is to undergo a process called heksher. It has to come into contact with a liquid. Now, the Torah Shabbat describes that liquid as being water. That water has to fall onto the food, and then the veil or sherit, something touches the food, then it becomes tummy. So even though the Torah speaks about mayim, tells us that there are six other mashkim as well. So it's a yayin, dam, shemen, cholov, tal, shachadam, dvash, and shemen. Okay. No, I missed one. Yad, shachadam, mayim. Yeah, good. Okay, see, forget mayim. Okay. I knew there was one missing in the list. Okay. So it's still 6:25 in the morning, so it's usually we get started now, a little bit off, and biological clocks are off a little bit. So there are seven mashkin that are potentially can be metamic, can not be metamic, they can be mashkin the food to enable the food to be able to be mekabel tumah. So comes the Rambam in Perek Yud Days, Lach Aleph, when he presents the dinim of Tumas Ochlin. So the Rambam writes as follows. So kol divrei hechsher ochlin, all of the details of hechsher are divrei kabbalah. They're all tradition. They're all going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. None of what I'm going to tell you says the Rambam is the Rabbanan. None of this was made up later. This is all the way back to the very, 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 very beginning of time. Divrei kabbalah, b'piya shmua lomdu. The Rambam uses two lashonos, the divrei kabbalah, b'piya shmua, to describe this phenomena that what I'm about to tell you are all halachas that were given to us way, way back at Sinai. Shedemar b'chiyut emoda. So in the Torah Shemichsav, the Torah speaks about water. Echad amayim, echad shashim amashkin. Says the Rambam, there's no difference with water, with shem and vashchal, etc. However, there are a few conditions. Just because something comes into contact with water or the other mashkin, does it automatically translate to mean that it's hochshar? So the first word that the Rambam uses, I understand. The second word, I don't understand. I mean, I understand what the word translates to me, but I don't understand the concept. Brotzo. If an apple just happened to fall into a bucket of water, and I wasn't too excited about that happening, I wasn't happy about that happening, so that is not called hokshalakabatum. It has to be brotzo. So this is a famous Gemara at the beginning of Eilu Metzias. Most seventh graders know this din from Eilu Metzias, but the Gemara Dashim from the Pasuk. That if you look carefully in the Sefer Torah, when you get to that Pasuk, Parshas Shmini, the Chiyutan Mayim Al Zera. So the Bakaris will tell you, the word Yutan is not spelled with a Vav. It's spelled Choser. It's spelled Yud Tof Nun, which could theoretically, incorrectly be pronounced as Chiyitein. Mayim Ozer. You could have Yud Tof Nun can be, will normally spell Yitay. If the Valkyrie says Yitay Mayim, you better correct it right away, because that's a real bad mistake. You know, every once in a while you make a mistake in Kriyas Torah where it's a little shaky. Does it change the meaning of the word or not? So if it clear absolutely doesn't change the meaning of the word at all, so then we're makil not to repeat it. Even that's a big chiddush. Not so posh at all. So the meaning is lahokil. As long as the word wasn't changed, the meaning wasn't changed, then the diavid, you can still continue to delay. If the meaning of the word was changed, then you have to have agree. You must have to go back. You have to stop the bakar. You have to make him repeat the word. Sometimes it's not at all clear whether the meaning of it, so you need a little bit of advanced dictum to understand. There are some words that to many people don't understand the nuances. Lashon HaKodesh will not even chop that the word changed. But you have loads of them. Usually, if you put the emphasis of the wrong syllable, so 9 out of 10 times doesn't make a difference. So when you say Moshe, you say Moshe, you say it's not going to make much of a difference. But every once in a while, you get those words where it makes a huge difference. You know, those who remember from Kriyas HaMegillah, it can make a tremendous difference. Be'erev hi va'ah, or Lakurba was saying be'erev hi va'ah, or instead of a phenomenal va'ah, you say a phenomenal va'ah. One's Lashon Hovah, one's present tense, one is past tense. So it can make all the difference in the world. So over here, it's a disaster. The Valkyrie says, V'chi yitain ma'im of zera. It's a different word. Yitain means to actively put water onto it. Yutan means it happened by itself. So here we have a little bit of a problem because it's almost a stira, it's almost a contradiction. In the Torah, the text of the Torah, it's written without a vav. If it would have a vav, you'd have to surf it, have to erase it, rewrite the word, you have to sift those puzzle if it would be written with a vav. But if the Valkyrie pronounced that without a vav, then the Kriyas HaTorah is no good. So it's one of those halachas, one of those places in the Chumash where you have a little bit of a quote-unquote discrepancy between what the text in Miksav is, what the Mesorah that we have, the tradition that we have, how to pronounce the word. So the Gemara tells us that every once in a while when you have that kind of phenomena, so the Torah Shabbat tells us that they're almost both true. And now the Torah Shabbat picks he resolved in a sense the quote-unquote power contradiction between the two. So the Gemara tells us that we have the following we have the following tradition. Yutan dumya de yitain. There is no din that the hechsher to be valid, that has to be physically done. It is not necessary for me to take the apple and throw it into the bucket of water. It does not have to be yitain ma'am of zara. I could have an apple sitting on the roof and it starts to rain. That's also actually come to me. It could even be Yutan, but it has to be Yutan that has certain characteristics similar to Yitain. What does Yitain mean? Yitain means I want it to happen. If I didn't want it to happen, so what I put it into the bucket for? So every Yitain is Leratzon. So to every Yutan has to be Leratzon as well. So yes, it's true that something can become Hukshel and Kabbaltuma without me actively doing anything, without me touching the water to the food. But it has to be here. It's not necessary for it to be here in my hands. It's got to be here in my mind. And my heart and soul has to be happy with what's happening. So if I wake up in the morning and I left my basket of apples on the roof, and I wake up in the morning and it's pouring rain, I may have one of two reactions. My reaction would be, Baruch Hashem for this rain. It's washing off my apples. I don't have to bother washing off my apples. I can go up now and take a bite of the apple. Great. I am so thankful. Thank you, Hashem. Baruch Hashem for the wet apples. If that's my reaction, and then a mouse falls on those apples, then I'm not too happy. If the mouse falls on the apples, then the apples just became tummy. However, when I wake up in the morning and I see it's pouring rain and the apples are getting soaked, I say to myself, oh my goodness, I forgot to bring those apples in. I forgot to check the weather report. The last thing I need is a bucket full of wet apples. I'm fouled back and I go upstairs and go dry off the apples. If that's my reaction, and then a mouse falls on it, then it's not tummy. It's not Yutan Dumiya Diyite. Where does all this come from? I'm just said, Kol Divrei Hechsher Oichlan Divrei Kabbalah Yishmol Lamdu. It's all Tashu of that. It's all Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. So who she knows that Elohim Ratzon. So the fact that you require Ratzon, I don't need the Rambam to tell me. That the Gemara says Befeirish Shnayis. Nothing to discuss. But the Rambam added something that does not appear in the Gemara. The Rambam writes, who she knows that Elohim Ratzon by Lam. How do you measure Ratzon? Who takes the vote for Ratzon? What would the din be as follows? What if my apples are on the roof, and I wake up in the morning and I am fuming. I forgot to take those apples down. But Shimon, my next door neighbor, who doesn't own those apples, says, oh, Baruch Hashem, Reuven's apples got wet. Why? Because I'm going over to Reuven for lunch today, and I like wet apples. I'm so happy those apples got wet. And Reuven is fuming because he's going to have to drop the apples. And Shimon says, all right, who do you follow? So says the Rambam, Lushi Nosin Alem Ritzon Bailem. You need the Bailem to be Kedeya. Only the Bailem's Ratzon counts. Pliny's Ratzon, it's no Malifor maybe. It's the Ratzon of Bailem that makes all the difference in the world. So Adkan Devei Rambam. So what do you see from this Rambam? Does Hechsher Ochlin have anything to do with Bailos? Anything to do with Chashem Mishpat? This has been ominous. When my apple becomes mukshel kavatuma, it was sold to somebody. It was hekdesh. It was hefker. Some change in the ominous happened. What are you talking about? All the change was there was a difference vis-a-vis isra hekdesh. There's a difference vis-a-vis tumah v'tahara. And the Rambam's telling me that a difference vis-a-vis tumah v'tahara that requires ratzon, because the fact that we require ratzon, whenever there's anything necessary in Issa Veheter, it's not the demonist, Issa Veheter, that requires Ratzon. Ratzon means, translated to mean, Ratzon HaBailim. Reuven can't supply Ratzon for something that belongs to Shimon. That's just the way it is. Kach Nemro, that's part of the halachic system. So come a group of Acharonim and say, oh, that's what's going on in Asuri as well. Bittul Chometz. Bittul Chometz is not luminous. Bittul Chometz is not Hefker, except according to Tosfos. But according to Rashi, Rambam, and Rambam, it's not. It's nothing to do with Hefker. Don't do with the Mammoth. Don't do with Chometz. Zero. But it has nothing to do with the Ratzon. What does Bittul Chometz mean? Bittul Chometz basically means that I'm making a declaration or thinking about in my mind that I don't really want this Chometz anymore. I'm not in this Chometz. To me, this Chometz is a piece of junk. To me, the Chometz is Kaf for the Ara. If you remember back to the Rambam, Rambam had that famous formulation about what Bittul Chometz was, is Oser Ritzonu Kitzona Torah, Maskim La'adaito L'dasa Torah. The Torah declares that it's Chometz, and I said, ditto, I also agree it's Chometz. I also agree that it's worthless. Those are expressions of Ratzon. Who come to Chorem and say, Ratzon? Who's Ratzon? Shtein Ramam, because Tumus Echlim, you beg your basal Aleph, Ratzon HaBayim. It has to be Ratzon HaBayim. So just as Halachas of Yisrael had to not do with the Imamnes, but it is inconceivable for a non-Bailam to supply Ratzon HaTorah, so too in the realm of Hilchos Chometz, it is inconceivable that somebody else should be mevatel your chometz for you. Since the halacha requires bailus to be mevatel your chometz to express that ratzon, once the chometz is ois bailus, once it's not yours, because it's asabano, and once it's asabano, it's gone, it's finished, it's history. Once it's asabano, so you're not the bailum anymore. You're not the bailum. You can't express that rotzon of bailum. And therefore, bittul chometz would be unacceptable. And that's why Bani Tzokshi Matel, who would have thought in a million years, on Erev Pesach, would finish up with his chometz, and we were fumbling around in the machzen to find the kol chamira. What are we wasting our time saying, kol chamira, are we ready to be his chometz? No! Too dangerous, too risky. Chazal said a bird it's because the Gezeri may find chametz. You're gonna find a piece of cake on third day Chol HaMoed. Rabbi, what's the big deal? Why the rush to bittul now? I'll wait till then to bittul. No, it'll be too late. Why is it gonna be too late? Because you have to be the bailam. So the lamdan asks the rabbi, I have to be the bailam. This is archaim. So the answer to that, Kasha, the Balabasu, who doesn't want to fumfk anymore to find the kol chamira after bidika, he's ready to go to sleep. The answer is no, you can't risk it, because if you find the chametz after the zman iser, too late. I it's not dinam amnis, right? Neither is heksher oichon dinam amnis. Shtei in Rambam b'ritzon ha'bayim. So we succeeded, hopefully, in our first challenge. We succeeded in identifying an area of halacha that requires bailus, even though it has at first had nothing to do with dinam amnis per se. But we still have a lot more to do to fine tune this. We have to ask ourselves the multiple questions. We have to ask ourselves, first of all, does everyone agree to the Rambam? Just by the way I formulated the question, you know the answer is going to be no. Why is it necessary? What are the parameters of this din? Do we really understand how it's playing out in terms of towards Oakland in order to apply it properly? The Rashba, in Masechet Chulin, says about this Rambam, I never heard of such a thing, says the Rashba. I never heard of the Gemara. I was like, you require it's on a bailam for Hechsher. Forget about the Bittul. Forget about our extension to Bittul for a minute. Just going back to Bezachel itself. Vishtek that doesn't say it anywhere in Shas. Nowhere. Doesn't say it. It doesn't exist. So where does it say it, according to the Rambam? In between the lines. Where does it say it? So the Ketzos comes to the rescue. So says, I'm going to show you, where Chazal say it, that you have to be the owner of something in order for the Hechsher to take place. So the Ketzel's dug up a Gemara, happens to be Maseches Pesachim, happens to be an Av Perek, but it's about as far away from Chometz as you can guess until the Ketzel saw it as the model for Chometz. The Gemara is discussing the possibility of a korban, an animal that was designated as a korban, as the possibility of that meat becoming hukshel kabel tumah. Now, it's a loaded question. A lot of factors that go into this discussion, but one of the issues that comes up is kind of a korban. Exactly what we're talking about? Which specific korban are we referencing? So the Gemara mentions a korban shlomim, and again, I'm picking them a little surgical strike. I'm trying to pick the one line of the Gemara that I want. In the middle of the sugya of Chinis Katakonim, the Gemara discusses the possibility of a korban shlomim becoming hokshel lekabel tumah. And the Gemara seems to make a fuss about the fact that it's a korban shlomim, almost highlighting shlomim in contrast to other korbanos. So comes the Ketzos and says, "My high korban shlomim, manish tana korban shlomim from other korbanos." So the Ketzos makes reference to a machlokes atanoim that appears in the Makam and Kedushin, a running machlokes about who owns the meat of a korban. When I'm makdish a korban, which is a very strange thing, I'm makdish the korban. So on the one hand, it's hekdish, I declare it's ready a korban, so it's not really fully mine. On the other hand, the korban is going to be brought for me. You can't say I'm not the bailum of the korban altogether. You can't say I'm a nothing. You can't say I have no relationship to this korban anymore. So it is my, I'm going to be yaitzid, my mitzvah, my neder with this korban. So the korban is nikra shali. On the other hand, I can't do what I want with this korban. I'm going to give it over to the kohanim, and I'm basically out of the picture. So in a pure dinim moment, in the sense of the word, who is the owner of this meat of the korban? As we always know, what's the litmus test as to whether you own something or not? It's always nafkamina the kedusha isha. You can't think of any other nafkamina, so kedusha is always a good one. You're standing under the chuppah, and you're fumbling around. You can't find the ring. You can't find the coin. You can't find anything. But wait a second. Hold the phone. It's out of his pocket. We hope that this kedusha is taking place in the azar, or else the meat just came nishal b'yotzei. So he pulls out a slice of meat. That's the meat of a korban. And he says, "Rebbe, kedushli the boser is there." Kudashas, Edu Kudashas. So the Mishnah says Edu Kudashas. It doesn't really belong to him. It's actually the Gemara quotes a pasuk this expression. Zelcha, Chubasuk Arshim and Aish. Gemara says it doesn't belong to him. Maybe it was a gift to the Kohen, but it doesn't really belong to him. Come the Tanoim and have the following. What's the din? The following scenario. What if I'm trying to be Makadish and Isha with an animal that was designated to be a korban, but it's Kochim Kalan? It's the lower level. What time do we say? Shach says, what time? 6:50. Okay. Okay. So what's the din if I try to be Kaddish, Nisha, an animal that Kachim Kala? It's not Kachim Kach. It's Kachim Kala. So I'm standing under the chuppah. And here I don't even have to be in the Azar for this one. I'm standing under the chuppah. And I can't find the ring. Can't find the ring. So wait, hold on. I run to the back. And I bring a sheep, and I hand the sheep over to the woman. I say, "Let me just tell you one thing. This is my korban shlomo. No, I designate this as the korban shlomo. I'm going to the Beis Mikdash. We'll go as soon as the chas is over. We'll go to the Beis Mikdash. We'll shach. We'll leave. We'll dinner together." He says, "I run kedushli b'shlomim zeh. The kedush is better than kedushas." So it's machlokes at tanoim. So the rabbanon said it's a farce. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's kachim. And the Masechta Kedushin asks him under the chuppah with a straight face, "Does this animal belong to you?" "No, it belongs to the Baruch, the Ram Shalom, the Beis HaMikdash." Comes Rabbi Yaisi Aglili and says, "No, Kachim Kalim, Mamun Bailim Heim. Kachim Kalim belong to the owner." What a Kachim Kalim? What's the difference between Kachim Kalim and Kachim? Very simple. Kachim, I'm going to shech the animal. I'm not going to get anything for this animal. I'm not a Kohen. So I'm going to hand this over to the Kohen. I'm never to see it again. Kachim Kalim, we're going to shech it. I'm going to shech it. The Kohen's going to do the Shrikas Adam, and then I'm going to get the meat back. The kachim gam, the bailam eat it. So you see that the Torah is giving bailas to the Yisrael. You see that the bailam really own. Oh, that's a further shot. That's a whole discussion. What about that? Right. So maybe better, maybe different. Maybe you have to get the meat back. Maybe I'm sure gavok is awkward. So again, I'm really, really streamlining all the details of the sugya. But bottom line is, there is a scenario, there is a possibility, according to some, that Kachim Kalim, Mamun Bailame, it actually belongs to the Bailame. So it's that statement of Kachim Kalim, Mamun Bailame, combined together with the Rambam's requirement of Hechsher belonging to the Bailame, that may be at the root of the Sug at the end of the first book of Psachim, about meat of Shlomim being subject to Hechsher Ochlin. So we'll have to stop in the middle to think about it on Shabbos, I'll mention next week. We'll pick up this Nakuda. It's going to be this tzos that's going to set the tone, set the stage for understanding what's going on in the sugya of Tuas Oakland, which by extension is going to hopefully shed some light for us in terms of the sugya of Bidduchon. So, Shabbos.